After nearly a decade-long battle, the Commonwealth Court on Tuesday ruled in a more than 700-page opinion that the Pennsylvania state school funding system for K-12 education is unconstitutional. Parents, schools, and many other organizations and advocates who brought the case back in 2014, they're applauding the decision, which said in part that, quote, students attending low-wealth districts are being deprived of equal protection under the law. That decision is historic, and it could have major implications. So here with to help us break it all down, we have WHYY education reporter Aubrey Juhas back with us today. Aubrey, good afternoon.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So let's break down this ruling. 700 plus pages, a lot to digest. The court said the funding system is unconstitutional. For those who may not know, explain how the state school funding system works and why the court says it violates the Constitution.
Sure. So the big issue is that Pennsylvania relies really heavily on local property taxes. So only about a third of public school funding comes from the state. And one estimate shows that that means the Commonwealth is potentially underfunding its schools by $4.6 billion. At the local level, that means that school districts are trying to fill a really, really large gap. Low wealth communities often have the highest tax rates because they're trying to bring in enough money, but because their wealth is so low, they're still not bringing in enough. That's why you have some districts with crumbling buildings, not enough teachers, outdated textbooks, and, you know, other districts that look like country club facilities. So given these wide disparities, the court said yesterday that the state had violated its constitutional promise to provide a, quote, thorough and efficient system of education to every single student in Pennsylvania.
Wow, that is huge. But before, I'm thinking, my mind is swirling right now, Aubrey, about all the next steps. But before we go there, I got to ask you, besides a resounding yay, what has been the reaction from plaintiffs and school districts thus far?
Yeah, so there has been that big yay. There has been that excitement, especially because they've been waiting such a long time for this decision. Years and years for it to come to court, a very, very long trial. Ultimately, it's this sense of guarded optimism. So the judge highlighted that, you know, every child can learn, and it's the obligation of the legislature, executive branch, and educators to make sure that constitutional promise becomes a reality. But it's not a prescriptive ruling, meaning she doesn't give a specific remedy. She doesn't give a timeline that things need to happen. So in the last 24 hours, we've seen a lot of these advocacy groups telling their members, you need to reach out to your elected officials right now and start agitating, start getting them to work on this solution because, you know, we don't have a timeline that we're being held to here.
Wow. So this will have a major impact. It could create a sea change in districts across the Commonwealth. Where do we even start when we talk about next steps?
Sure. So lawyers for the plaintiffs say they'll be pushing the Shapiro administration, the Secretary of Education, and the legislature to get started right away. But we know politics are messy and slow moving, and they definitely are right now. And what we've seen in the past when other states have had cases like this is that there isn't instantaneous change. Nothing happens overnight. But what the lawyers have said is that they're really, really adamant that they're not going to let things drag out. And here's Dan Yervik Acklesberg, a lead attorney for the plaintiffs, speaking on a call with reporters last night.
Do we expect this to take years and years for a constitutionally compliant system? No. The order and the opinion says they need to work in conjunction with us to design something that is constitutional. We don't anticipate waiting years for that system.
Wow. So they're serious about this.
Yeah. He says it's their hope that the legislature will make a significant investment during its next budget cycle, which needs to be finalized in June.
So that was my next question. All eyes will be on this budget cycle. The Democrats have the governorship, and now, thanks to a special election, it looks like they'll win the House as well. Are there any ideas as far as like what kind of money we're talking about will be needed to bring the districts to a compliant level?
Yeah, well, we have that $4.6 billion figure, but that's just kind of one number that's floating around. It's possible that much more money is needed. The judge's, her own words, she said that, you know, options for reform are virtually limitless. School funding is really, really complicated, so there's a lot of different things the legislature could do to bring itself into constitutional compliance. But the expectation is that the state is going to need to invest more money and figure out how to dole it out more equitably so that these schools that aren't able to raise money on their own are really lifted up and have the same resources as really, you know, high income suburban communities.
Yeah. And as we wrap up, you know, before these school superintendents are salivating and getting all comfortable with this, could there be an appeal or will this end here given the the makeup, the political makeup of the state.
Yeah. So an appeal is an option. The state can take it to the Supreme Court and ask them to revisit the decision. We don't know yet if that's going to happen. Governor Josh Shapiro said in a statement last night that he really believes that children in every zip code should have access to high quality education. He said his administration is looking at that nearly 800-page decision and deciding their next steps. So he could bring an appeal. Other people in the state government could bring an appeal. Or they could let it go and just start working with the plaintiffs on a solution. We just have to wait and see.
Well, we're going to leave it right there. Excellent discussion and reporting from WHYY education reporter Aubrey Yuhas. Aubrey, thank you for your thoughts today.
Thanks for having me.
Check out Aubrey's reporting as well as all of our coverage of this issue and others at WHYY.org.